am I impulse driven interrupting you
yeah.
at all? Am I interrupting you and like fucking
yeah.
with your productivity
yeah.
at all?
Yeah.
Am I doing this?
Yeah.
Just ask a few people.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Stelly Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Stelly's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
All right, Heaton.
All right.
What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about... I called it one thing, you called it another. So
okay.
Let's start with what I called it, and I'll explain it, and then
yes.
you talk about what you called it.
Your branding is much nicer.
Okay, oh yeah, yeah, sure, sure,
yes.
Yeah, mine's nicer. So the thing that I wanted to talk about was, it's based on an observation that a team member and I made at Kissmetrics in 2013, and there was an internal blog post. So we have an internal blog, and people post on it, the team members were, and he posted, and he titled it Heaton Bombs. And he explained exactly what those are. At this point, those are basically things like when a founder drives by a team member and just says something or, you know, whatever. And then the person like doesn't know what to do with themselves, like doesn't know what to do next or redirects and starts doing that thing when then their manager, so to speak, or somebody else on the team comes up and goes, hey, what are you doing? Like, oh, Heaton told me to do that, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
Those are Heaton bombs.
All right. So I love the
And you had a different name for it. Yeah. But I thought it was very similar.
All right. So yeah. the blog post was cool. You read a few lines in there,
yeah.
And it was like Heatonism, Heaton bomb, Heaton drive by, like
Heaton tornado.
Heaton tornado,
yeah.
Yes, exactly. So I love the branding
on
that.
That's how they branded
what
it.
What was the name that I had for this? I don't even remember. I just
impulse something.
Yeah, impulse driven. Like asked me,
yeah.
Have you ever done this?
That's right.
And then I said, you said, have you ever done this? Or have you ever.
Did you used to do it?
Did you used to do it?
Because I used to do it. I don't do that anymore.
Yes.
Yeah. Or I don't think I do.
Same here. And what I said that, I said, yes, I used to have impulse-driven
conversations. I think that's what it was,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
Where I'd be working at my laptop, and then I'd be having a thought, oh, shit, we are fucking up with this, or we should change this. And I would just stand up without filtering the thought or anything, just move.
Blurt it out.
Walk over to a person and just shook them and go,
hey, we got to change this right now.
Yeah, fucking, we need to. Why are we still doing that? And just be, like, very impulsively and very urge-driven having these conversations. That would pull people out of their work and now like making this new thing the most
into
important
something
thing.
Else
yes,
yeah
yes, yes.
Especially because you said it and you're the founder and you probably hired the person,
which is that's another part.
I know it is
is like the weight of the word of the founder.
That's right.
And how do actually like deal with a responsibility, which is something that I have challenges with because I never think of myself.
Sounds
like
the next one.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so let's talk about tell us more about like what was a good example of you doing a Heaton drive-by? Or
I'd go talk to a designer that was working on something and make them work on something else.
Okay.
When there was something in the pipeline or the roadmap or whatever you want to call
it. And
was
it usually the way that I described it, where you just saw something on the web or thought about something and went, we need to start working.
All of it is some variation of that.
Okay.
I talked to somebody.
Okay.
Or some customer gave me some feedback or, you know, all kinds of stuff like that.
So you used to do that for a long time, I would assume, or for a good amount of time.
Probably a solid 2 or 3 years. Like once we hit product market fit,
all right.
It was basically
lots of drive-bys.
Yeah.
All right. And then at some point, it became such a topic that somebody wrote a blog post about internally.
It was like 1,500 words. Yeah, it's good.
And it started with like, I think Heaton and I have figured
out what's going on here.
Yes. Because people internally had challenges with this, right?
Of course.
So what was that conversation that made you guys, quote unquote, figure it out?
We just started trying to figure out what we were actually trying to figure out is like why he doesn't get distracted by it. And then he started telling me really interesting stuff. And this was an evolution of probably a couple conversations. But one of the things that he told me was, oh, if you say it like 3 days in a row, that's when I take it seriously.
Mm.
I was like, oh, all right. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, I get that, right? But that's what he was doing. So he was able to manage it. So the discussion came up, what are you doing? How are you managing, right?
Nice.
And then from there, I was like, oh, okay, I see how you think about it, right?
All right, let me stop you right.
Yeah.
I think this is good shit. But what happened to you before having that type of conversation with him that was, why are you able to deal with me?
Oh.
What made you have that conversation in the first place, that awareness that somebody's able to deal with you and other people aren't? Did you have somebody like complain
sure.
to you?
Yeah.
Be like, start crying at their desk or do something that made you like go, oh shit, there's something
oh,
interesting
happening. Oh, him and I were specifically talking about it at that time because he was complaining to me about my behavior impacting the
others.
Delivery day or a milestone, right? And then that's why we got in the discussion.
Interesting.
Right? Because with him, I won't just talk about the thing.
Yeah.
It's actually, we'll get to the core of it
right.
really fast.
Right.
Right?
But so, was that the first time that you heard that? Or was there an awareness lurking in the background?
That was the first time I heard it.
Oh,
Because a lot of times people won't tell you stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
That was the first time I heard it. But he'll tell it because, like,
okay.
it's fucking something he's trying to do up. And he was leading, like, the whole product team. So
yeah.
I was like, yeah. And I had to take him seriously. All right?
All right.
Everyone else wouldn't tell me.
Okay.
They were mostly usually individual contributors.
Okay.
So yeah.
Good shit. All right.
Yeah.
So he tells you then that he's able to, other people can't deal with this.
Yeah.
He's able to deal with it. You try to figure out how.
Yeah.
And he tells you one thing, one tactic is,
yeah.
I need you to say something three times before I start
yeah.
paying attention.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What else did he say? Or was that it? Was that the
That
tactic?
Was a big one. And I think the other thing is he's also able to hold quite a bit of things in his head.
Mm-hmm.
Right at one time.
Yeah.
I tend to do that pretty well. A lot of founders end up having to learn how to do that. And so he was able to keep all my crap in his head too.
Yeah.
Or a lot of it.
Yeah.
Right. So that if I brought it up again, he's like, oh yeah, we talked about that already. And you said this and this. And then we had a continuity of conversation. So because he was kind of able to do that, he was explaining to me how other people can't do that. He's like, they're so worried about that pixel or that color or that, you know, code or that next sale or whatever, that when you go do that, they get completely disrupted from what they need to do.
Right.
Right. And it's basically a maker or manager kind of difference. If you're a maker and you start disrupting the makers in your company, then you end up having everything slow down.
Yeah.
Right. Because they have a job to do and they're going to do it. And they have very binary outcomes to their work.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then the next thing. Right.
Yeah.
Like that's
yeah.
how work is for most people. But a founder's work's not like that. It's not like, oh, I'm done.
Yeah.
Most
yeah,
of the shit's
yeah,
never over.
Yeah. Yeah. And
yeah.
you have to deal usually with like multiple issues.
Yeah.
All at once.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was part of what the blog post was. Is like, oh, well, here's everything in Heaton's head. And then the blog post wrote about how, you know, as a founder, you're thinking about, you have to manage all this stuff, short term, long term, whole depths of it. And it was things like competition, customers, the board, investors, if you have them, cash, all these other things. Right. So there's a whole bunch of stuff to kind of give people context of why it happened.
Okay.
Right.
So some interesting things here. Number
yeah.
one. For us at Closer,
yeah.
like kind of as an organizational tool that we developed
yeah.
without deciding it,
yeah.
Is that one way, what I'll tell new people that join the team is, hey, when you have ideas and you want to really push for something, there's usually a number of things that happen. You'll bring it up the first time and
yeah.
more often than not, it's something we thought about before.
Yeah.
And maybe there's some agreement on we need to do it, but nobody championed it. So, and sometimes it's something that most people resisted or a few people in the company resisted and thought it's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Here's the way that typically these things get resolved in our company. If you pitch an idea and you can't get immediate buy-in, you have to make a decision. Either you care about it enough to really champion it or you don't. If you
yeah.
don't, it's just going to fade away and at
yeah.
some point will come up again.
Yeah. Sure, maybe. Yeah.
You know, maybe or maybe never.
Yeah.
If you want to champion it, you have to decide, do you want to push for buy-in and
yeah.
you just have to bring it up again and again and
yeah.
again and
yeah.
again?
Yeah.
Or are you just going to do something about it,
yeah.
right? And then generate some results.
Yeah. Prove
and,
that it's a good idea.
Yeah, prove that it's a good
and
idea.
It's going to work, yeah.
But both of these techniques can actually work. Sometimes
yeah.
there were people that have brought up something for like 6 months in
yeah.
a row until
that's
it,
advocacy.
Evangelist yeah,
for that idea.
Until eventually was the right time, the right point where everybody was like, yes, that's the next thing we need to do.
That's
right?
Awesome.
And sometimes people would just fuck everybody and they went
yeah.
ahead and did something. Like our logo was
yeah.
basically two people, me going, who gives a shit about the logo? And people going,
no, we're
going to
go.
Let's go to 99
yeah,
Design
yeah, yeah.
to get us a fucking logo,
that's
right?
Yeah.
There's many things like that
yeah.
where people just fucking went ahead
yeah.
and did something. But the thing that won't work is you bring up something, you get resistance, and then you just go, oh, everybody sucks here. Like, I can never – I brought this up twice. I think it's a really good idea, but
yeah.
nobody – well,
yeah,
you either
like,
do –
well, it's on you, man.
Yeah, either you do
it's
it again.
You.
Either you bring it – either
yeah.
you have the emotional strength to bring it up again and again and again and really check in it,
yeah.
or you go do something about
yeah.
it without the buy-in from others.
Yeah.
That way, for us,
yeah.
it's very rare that we'll snap into action with something immediately.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And we're not super impulse driven as a team. So that's a.
And do you guys talk about this process? That's how it works, or is it just something that's culturally happening?
It kind of happened because of the
yeah.
nature of the characters that are involved in the
yeah.
team. And I've just started because we just started bringing new people.
Yeah.
Like
talking about it like that. Be like, look, this is how things get done here.
This is usually how
that's
things
awesome.
Get done here.
Yeah.
But it was never like a.
So it's actually like a good side thing there, just to note that like. you won't make cultural things tribal until you bring them up.
Yeah.
Right? They're cultural right now.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they don't become tribal. Tribal meaning like we all do it like this. If you come in, you're doing it like this. That's tribal.
Yes.
Cultural and tribal are way different things in my mind, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're essentially going from this is a cultural thing to we like this thing. This is a good, we like this. We don't want to change this
right now. Yeah,
yeah. And then you make it tribal. That's really cool.
All right. So so let's come back to the person saying you need to bring up something multiple times.
Yeah.
That sparked the my thought of like sometimes people bring something up.
Yeah,
multiple times, right?
Yeah.
But then what happened? Okay, so the person, you guys have a deep discussion about this.
Yeah.
He writes about it.
Yeah.
To share that discussion with the team.
Yeah.
What happened next?
I just stopped doing it. Just by quantifying it, I understood it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how did you react? How did you stop yourself? So this is a habit you've built over years.
Sure.
It's an impulse-driven habit,
yeah.
which sucks because it
yeah.
means that it's not conscious. You just act.
Yeah.
So now, how did you, when you felt that impulse, you had self-awareness.
So what's interesting is, so the person I did it with, his name's Steve Cox. He started out at Kissmetrics as an engineer. Mm-hmm. We called him an analytics engineer, which means nothing. He was just
okay.
badass, right? And,
okay.
and I actually found him because someone tweeted about him on Twitter.
Ooh.
One of my friends, Avinash, actually tweeted about him on Twitter. Steve was at Intuit, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then I started talking to Steve, and he was like into data and analytics for 15 years before that, right? Or, or something like that. Anyways. And so he brought this up, but he pulled a trick on me. This is why it stuck. This is exactly why it stuck. Because we talked about it at least probably twice before, right? It was a problem he wanted to solve. This is how he solves problems. We talked about it, and then he wrote the blog post.
Nice.
It was done because the conversation was one angle, which totally got it, right?
Yeah.
But then he reinforced it by actually writing about it and then, for lack of a better way, like shaming me publicly.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't shame me. It was a very well-written blog post. And I don't feel shamed by it, but essentially he put it out there and said, hey, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
So then I couldn't do it again. He like cornered me.
Yeah.
Right? I would get reprimanded as a founder, regardless, who cares, if I did that again. And that's a pattern he actually does in a lot of things, and it works.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Right? So he just reinforced it. That's what I know happened.
Have you noticed this ever since more sensitively with others? Like when you talk to founders, when you look at founding teams, you're an advisor to lots of companies.
Sure, yeah.
Do you see this behavior being like a standard thing?
Yeah, so I think this behavior usually occurs because the team's small early on.
Mm.
That's like obvious. And then, and I mentioned product market fit, but you're usually very small until you get to product market fit.
Yeah.
Right? There's caveats, but that first version of product market fit for your business actually is what I should say. So when you're small, like that's how you operate. You do what you were saying, right? You'll get up and talk to someone and it's likely the reason you're doing it though, and you don't realize this, but I think they're already working on something related to what you're going to tell them about at that time.
Yeah.
But then over time, you don't even know what they're working on, but then you'll go do that to them because you're used to doing it.
Yes.
So I've seen this everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? It's just how do you kick out of it? How do you transition yourself? So I think at that time I was doing a poor job of transitioning myself as the company was scaling and we were hiring more people.
Right. I'm wondering if as a company grows and scales, the teams then, the individual departments still act like startups in that behavior that the department head is maybe doing lots of drive-bys and they don't realize
they
that.
Might be. And we got lucky because Steve was from Intuit. And
right.
over there, he had learned a lot of good things and bad things, obviously, right? But like generally, their culture was very good at sort of making sure these types of things didn't happen. They actually have a very healthy organizational leadership discipline around there, and he was managing teams there, right? So I think we got lucky in that someone like that was in the company already by then.
Yeah.
And as a result, a lot of those things like were much easier to do.
So, all right.
Yeah.
So one other thing that's interesting about this is that it reminded me of a conversation I had with my two brothers. So my two brothers are in business together.
Yeah.
And they run very small Vodafone shops, like whatever, AT&T shops, and as an equivalent in the US, right?
Yeah.
So they sell cell phones and mobile plans and shit like that. And they have multiple locations, right? So one thing that they had, one problem they had is that they drove each other crazy. And they, in the early days, they would be in the same location all day long. And my two brothers are the two opposites.